And welcome to episode 15, season 2 of Rainbow Bridge Connection. I'm Kayla. And as promised, as last time we were talking, I am going to have a special guest on the show for this episode. And I'm so excited for you guys to hear from our special guest. I think this will be super beneficial. And it's not just in the terms for the companion animal loss. I think it'll be beneficial to hear from our guest in a general sense. Or guests, I should say guest. We have two, but we'll be hearing primarily from one of them. But the other one, I'm sure, has great insight that they would like to add as well. So I am just going to go ahead and introduce her. I am here with Patrice Karst. She is, I said it right, right? Did I say it right? Yeah. See, I was telling them earlier that I always try to do the, like, let me get how you say your name beforehand, because I always butcher everybody's name. So I am so glad I said it right. Patrice, we're so happy to have you.
Well, thank you so much. It's great to be here.
So tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, there's lots of ways we could go with that one. I would assume you probably mean into how I ended up writing the books that I write, maybe.
Yeah, or... I mean, whatever you want to talk about, because we get into it.
Okay. All right. Well, I am Patrice, and I've been on the planet for a while. And I wrote a book called The Invisible String that became just a very, very, very popular book. It's now regarded as a classic in the children's book world about the invisible string that connects us to the ones that we love. And that whether they are in the physical or in, you know, the beyond, or whether they are in another country, or whether they are in the military, or whether they moved away, you know, in other words, we're connected to the people we love by something that transcends time and space. And it became a huge book in the children's book world for loss and separation, anxiety and grief, of course, but also just celebrations of love, baby showers, going away gifts, graduation presents, Valentine's Day, back to school. You know, there is no holiday or event that The Invisible String is not used for. But along the way, I had many of my readers write to me and tell me that they wish that I had a book that would be focused on only animals, even though they were using The Invisible String for pet loss grief, because in The Invisible String, we even have a page where, you know, the little girl, Liza, asks, you know, do I have a string to Jasper the cat, you know, Jasper the kitty? And yes, Mom says, of course, you have a string to Jasper. So it was used for pet loss grief. But there was definitely a request and a need for a specific book for animals. Ironically, when I was writing the book, my own dachshund of 14 years was in decline and very close to being needed to be put down. And so it was really quite the process, because I was reading my own book for comfort, and I was getting comfort, and it was also helping me know how to write the book, because I was in the throes of already feeling grief, because I knew it was, you know, weeks away. So anyway, The Invisible Leash came out in 2020, I think, or was it 2019? I don't remember, but just a couple of years ago. And it is becoming, and I'm very, very honored and so happy to see this, but it is becoming one of the big pet loss grief books for children. So that same sort of idea, imagery of the invisible string lent itself very well to an invisible leash. But of course, I wanted this to be a book for all animals and not just dogs. So we had to address in the book, you know, well, you know, how could this then be used for cats or horses or guinea pigs or goldfish or birds that right. are pets that beloved that pass away? And so our leash, the invisible leash, is not a leash that connects the bodies. It's a leash that connects our hearts. So, it helped me, and it is now helping so many people that are grieving the loss of their animals. And it's been a really interesting, I don't know if interesting is the right adjective, but it's been a journey for me to have to respond. You know, I always respond in letters to people that write to me about the invisible string, and many of those letters are people that are grieving the loss of a loved one. Now I'm getting so many letters and orders because I autograph books, and you know, off of my website, people can order them in my Etsy store, and so a lot of people are ordering the invisible leash for me to sign in memory of Rexy, in memory of, you know, Spot, in memory, you know, for these animals. And it's, I'm seeing how grief is grief, and the grief factor and pain level and all of it is every bit as much for when a family pet dies as it is when a human dies. I you know, I mean, obviously I knew that for myself. I know the pain of losing an animal, but it really has been an eye-opener just to see how important these tools, in which case the invisible leash is one tool, can be used for grief for our animals. And it makes me really, really happy. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it caught my eye. I think the invisible leash caught my eye just because it's such a the imagery that you have for the front of the book is just so cute. And it caught my
Oh, thank
eye because
you.
it was just so like sweet, I guess is the best way to put it.
Thank
And
you.
then,
I know.
you know, yeah, and then, you know, and then I stumbled across your series of, you know, The Invisible String, and was like blown away because the whole concept, like you said, it could be used in any faction. It can be used as a grief faction. We're a military family, so it could absolutely be used as, you know, if your parent is deployed or not there, or you know, living in a different state, like you said. And I love that it has that different versatile meaning that you can use it for any of that. And like you said, you could even use it for companion animal loss as well. But it's so nice to have like the companion animal loss as its own book. And I was just like looking over it and got teary-eyed because it's just so like I can't even imagine trying to explain something so personal and so upsetting like that to a young child, you know, trying to explain that whole situation and explain the grief that comes with it. 'Cause you don't have to just deal with you, especially if you have children. You don't have to deal with just you having to go through the grief of it, but now you
The
have to
whole
deal with
family. It's a family, huge family loss, right? Well, that's why, you know, it's perfect because it's the children, right? It's the two kids having their walk through the neighborhood, and discussing, you know, about, you know, where our animals go, and the big secret that is shared, that indeed we're connected by an invisible leash. And I find, you know, it's interesting, people buy the book when an animal has died. And I, you know, I've been thinking about this because when people ask me about my books, I don't usually recommend, I mean, I don't even tell them, you know, I say, well, there's the invisible leash for if a pet dies. But actually, I think it would actually be a very healthy book for parents to read to their children, even though the family dog has not
Yes.
died yet or is not sick yet. Because, and I talk about this whenever I get interviewed about the invisible string, and it's the same. It's the exact same thing, which is that we need to normalize conversations about death. We need to normalize death. Children are going to experience death. They're going to either see a dead animal themselves, they're going to hear about someone dying on the news, they're going to hear a classmate say something about my grandma died. They're going to hear the word death and dying, you know? And I think the sooner that can be addressed before, I mean, think about it. If you were a child and no one talked to you about this is, and you suddenly find out, oh, there's this thing called death. And what do you mean? Like, we're not here anymore. And my mom and dad weren't the first person to sort of explain that to me. So I think that's one of the most intimate and important conversations you can have with your child is that we live and animals live and die and plants live and die. You know, we have these cycles. So anyway, it is a tricky subject. Mm-hmm. It's obviously a very tricky subject. It's very taboo and it's very, you know, it's like when I wrote Invisible String, the one page in the book that alludes to death is the page where the children are watching the balloon fly up, and you know, the little boy asks mom, does my string go all the way to Uncle Brian in heaven? And mom says yes, there too, you know. And the publisher, the original publisher of the book, did not want a page about death in a children's book. He did not want that word heaven. He did not want death to be addressed. And I had to stand my ground and risk maybe losing a book deal by saying there's no point in publishing this book if you're not going to show the child that death transcends this planet and goes to the other side. Otherwise, what's the, you know, we're trying to show what the power of love is. So yeah, fought for it, and thank God, because that page is the page that turned it into the number one grief book for children and really launched it. I mean, even though, like I said, it's used for so many different, very joyful, you know, reasons too. But I think had it have not become the number one book for grief and loss and separation, then you might not have heard about it anywhere near as much. And the other thing I want to say, which is kind of another sort of sad reality, you know, because for most of us, other than hearing things on the news and the hopefully very rare time in our own personal lives we lose someone, or we hear about a friend that loses someone, you know, most of us are not in the death business, unless you work for a funeral parlor or, you know, you're in ICU in hospitals or whatever. But I now have entered being in the death world a lot more than I ever could have imagined, because I am dealing with grief, and I am not, you know, unlike Dr. Dana, who, you know, is a doctor, PhD, in, I don't, Dana, what is your PhD? Art therapy or
play expressive therapies, and I do art and play therapy. Yes.
Yeah. Right.
And this is my co-author on the Invisible String workbook, Dr. Dana Weiss, and she's amazing. And we'll get to the workbook in a little bit, but you know, Dr. Dana is the one that could address more on a professional level, you know, I've had to, you know, and I don't pretend to be an expert really. When parents or educators want to talk to me about my work and about death, and I I'm not a therapist, but I deal with death every day because of my books now. And I have always, with my own son, I talked about death very early on. I mean, you know, there was, you know, there just, whenever it was appropriate, I would allow death to come into the conversation. So we took a hike one day and there was a little dead bird on the ground. And my son was staring at it, and I wasn't going to say the birdie's asleep, you know? So, you know, it was like, yes, that's a little dead bird. And this is kind of gross, but you know, there was a lot of ants on the bird. And I said, and that little birdie's with God now. That little birdie's with God. And my son said, well, actually, the birdie's with the ants right now. And yeah, very literal. My son has Asperger syndrome, and they're very literal. You know, like I remember once we were driving past this where this restaurant was, and I was like, oh my God, the restaurant's gone. He goes, someone took it, you know. And it's like, you know, just funny things like that. But yeah, being now as I'm in the, you know, the death world a lot more, it's just such a, it's just continual, right? It's like animals are continually, people are continually passing away. It's just, I don't know, want to say I'm numb to it, because I'm not numb to it, but after a while, I understand how doctors and nurses probably, you know, or people that work in, you know, hospice or whatever, it's just your day to day. Today you're going to hear about a few more people dying. Yes, you are. And So it's become very normalized for me now, even more so. And it's also kind of, it makes me, I don't take stuff for granted anymore, for sure. You know, like I really don't. Like, it's cliche, we say to people, you know, you should live each day as if it's your last day, and do it, you know, we all go, yeah. But I honestly, I'm very, because I am so aware of death now, I think I'm living my life quite differently. I don't take for granted that people are going to be here forever, because they're not. So, yeah.
We always say on here, you're a part of the club that you never wanted to be a part of.
Yes.
Like it's this thing, like I always tell our listeners, like we're a community and we all understand each other, and it's great that we have each other, but also crappy that we have each other, that we have to all, you know, experience this. And like you said, you know, as a society, we talk about this a lot. As a society, we don't, we're like scared of death, which rightfully so. But as a society, we don't talk about it with our kids. We don't discuss things with our children like we should when it comes to this. And it results into people like me who didn't have to deal with any death or anything like that till I was 23 and had a complete like life crisis when it happened, because it was like, whoa, 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 whoa. What is this? Why? Like, it changed my entire life. It changed the way I viewed religion, the way I viewed the universe, the world, like everything, and the way I was living my life, like you said, 100%, like it changes everything about you so deeply that I think
it's was it someone very close to you?
So it was back-to-back deaths. And so it was Athena, the whole reason why we started this podcast. She was a 7-month-old rescue puppy that got pediatric cancer, and we had to put her down. And then within a couple months of that, my grandma, who was like a mom to me, passed away. Mm. And it was like, it was one of those moments of like, oh, wait, I need to know, is there a heaven? I need to know if there is an afterlife. Because I always had that assumption that it is what it is. There's a heaven, there's an afterlife, it is what it is. You don't have to worry about it, you know, type of thing. And then,
right.
Experience something like this, and it's like, wait, no, I need to know. I
need to know for sure.
Yeah. And well, I agree with you, education is key.
Well, and I can jump in here a little bit.
Yeah.
Because, both in my personal life, experiencing a lot of grief and loss, and then also in my career, working with a lot of grief and loss. I think you're both right on track with some of the issues, right? So we don't prepare people enough, and no matter how much you prepare, you're never ready. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely, we talk about that a lot too, the club you never wanted to join, but you're stuck in forever. We talk about that all the time. I actually use that line with my clients a lot and my friends. Yeah. And I think that it's so powerful because I don't think there can be enough tools, right? Because I think everyone, like you said, religion-wise, everyone has a different belief system. Everyone has a different way they're going to heal and grieve. And so having more tools just is amazing. And I've had people tell me the invisible string doesn't help me with grief and loss. I don't want it for that. Well, then don't use it for that, right? But someone else, it's the thing that kept them going when they felt like they were just going to fall apart and disappear. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it's just so amazing that we have all these amazing tools that, and I would add, you know, and our publishers would say that it's a children's book. And I'm like, but it's not. Like, I've given it to more adults in my life probably than children. And I've used it for adolescents. That's, you know, I worked at a group home that served adolescents that had complex developmental trauma and had a lot of losses in many different ways. Grief and loss from families actually dying, but then also just abandonment and not knowing where they were in the world or if they were dead or not, which is equally as devastating to the system and is grief and loss nonetheless. And I think the more resources and tools we can have, the better. And I think this is one that really, both these books that we're talking about really speak to people in different ways.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You can never have too much, you know, like that's why we started the podcast. Cause there's a lot of like you said, books, there's a lot of different resources, group group therapy, going to individual therapy, all that stuff. But I feel like there's never too much when it comes to like grief or even loss or anything like that. It's never too much. You can always continue to get more resources because, and I'm sure you guys, you know, have experiences too. It changes too. Grief is a funky thing where it just does this weird, like where.
Waves.
Totally.
Yeah. And I was going to say that invisible leash is definitely being like what Dr. Dana said about being used for adults. Invisible leash, it's so many adults are buying it for other adults, you know? And, you know, I think there's something very comforting about children's books to use them as adults. There's just something, I mean, who needs a 400-page book about pet grief? Who even wants to read something like that? But a sweet book with these little spirit animals. I think one of the reasons why Invisible Leash is doing so well is the art is so beautiful and the spirit animals, like, we're not doing video or I'd hold it up, but, you know, that we're seeing, you know, Emily and Zach's spirit animal, you know, they're animals in the spirit following them around as they're having this discussion and high-fiving each other. Like, look, they get it. They get that we're over here and we still love them and see them and we exist in another realm. And yeah, I mean, it really, honestly, that's what I mean. I was reading it the whole time as I was writing it and it brought me so much comfort. And, you know, it's interesting because with the invisible string, there was, in the same way that page about Uncle Brian in heaven turned it into, a phenomenon. We've sold over 1 million copies and it's in 15 languages now. And, you know, just exponentially going further and further. But the criticism that I've had about that book, the only criticism that I've heard repeatedly is that I use the word heaven and people equate that word as being religious. So people will put reviews on Amazon saying this is a religious book. And it's so frustrating because then people don't buy it. And it's so not a religious book at all. But, you know, it's tricky because when you do talk about death and when you do talk about that there's an afterlife, be it for animals or humans, people regard that as religious. And, you know, Dr. Dana and I had lunch last weekend and, you know, we were saying like, this is for children. Like, you want to comfort your children. What are you going to say? Like, you're dead and that's the end of it. You're, you know, in the mud. That's where you are. That's where you go. Like, it horrifies me. What should we call it? What, you know, instead of heaven? Oh, grandma went to the dark abyss of nothingness, you know? Like, I'm so frustrated. Can you hear my frustration? It's like, because I don't say these people, but you know, especially the people that get the most upset that I use the word heaven are atheists. And they very proudly say, I'm an atheist and how dare she, you know, that they should have had a warning that the word heaven is in here. And I don't know. I try to, you know, and I have in the invisible string, I have a letter to the reader that I wrote in the book, in the paperback version. And I address it. I say there is one word on one page that alludes to permanent physical departure. And, you know, and that word is heaven. If that word is not right for your family, feel free to amend it to whatever word does work for you and use it as a springboard for discussion. And I just find sometimes, you know, that some of these parents or loved ones are throwing the baby out with the bathwater because this book that could comfort their child for the rest of their lives to know that they're connected by invisible strings and invisible leashes now don't get to know about it because the parent got upset that I used the word heaven. And so in the invisible leash, we used a less traditionally religious word. It just kind of happened in the writing of it. I don't know if we ever actually discussed it. It just sort of came out, but the kids discussed that the animals are in the great beyond. Well, what's the great beyond? Is that like space? It's even beyond space. You know, some say it's even all around us, you know, so it really alludes to a greater perhaps understanding than just, you know, up in heaven. But, you know, so it's interesting though, how obviously, when I wrote the book, I wanted it, both books, I wanted them to bring as much comfort as possible to children about a very painful subject. Because when someone permanently physically, or an animal permanently physically departs, that's a big loss. That's the biggest loss any human ever experiences, is death of someone or a creature that they love. So how can you make that shocking? Because when you think, when you know, really, when you think about it, like, how shocking is it for a child to, that someone's here one day and the next day they are not, they don't exist? I mean, that's a terrifying concept. So I wanted it to be as comforting as possible. And yeah, and I'm sticking with that. And you know, every review that I get like that, I want to jump in and go, nah, you're getting it all wrong. But my editor said, no, Patrice, you can't, as an author, you can't jump in and start arguing with people about your reviews. But it's like, I think I did it once. I think it's probably still on there. Maybe I deleted it. But I remember the one of the first reviews I got where they were flipping out about the word heaven. I said, I probably sounded very sassy, but I was like, what would you have me call it? What word would you, you know?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Grandpa's gone. He's just gone. Father is, get used to it. Stiff upper lip. Gone, I tell you.
Well, it can be hard, you know, well, because there's so many different religions. Like, I would call myself an atheist. I'm working with the idea of I'm pretty probably an atheist. And I can see to an extent, because Christianity is shoved down everybody's throat. I mean, if you're Christian, more power to you. I'm totally fine with that. I think it's a lack of, like, understanding of other people's,
For sure. But it's just, I got so frustrated because I am not a Christian per se. I was born Jewish, and you know, and I followed Hinduism, and I've, you know, I'm right. Like a child of all religions,
totally,
and all spiritual paths. But I never thought of heaven as a Christian word, but apparently it is. I mean, yeah. it's although every, you know, every culture, you know, I wrote my very first book that I ever wrote, which is out of print now, but it was a little book called God Made Easy. And it was the antithesis, by the way, of religion. The whole point of the book was, it doesn't matter whether you call God
right,
Lord Almighty, or the man upstairs, or Big Daddy, or the source, the force, the power of the universe, or, you know, higher power, but something greater than ourselves, you know. And in that book, when I talked about the other side, I said, you know, call it whatever you want, you know, heaven, nirvana, bliss, from whence I came, you know, the great beyond, over there, the spirit world, you know, there's a lot of different terminologies you can use. But I just think it's important to believe in something, mm-hmm. you know, and we can say that we have our memories of the, and that lives on in our hearts, the memories, but I don't think that's enough for children. I think it's incredibly comforting, and it's my belief. So luckily I don't feel like I'm making up a fairy tale. It's what I believe probably right. more than anything else. It's yeah. my absolute knowing that there is another, that souls do not cease to exist. Their body stops right. working. That energy, that source, that soul exists
right.
in another reality that we can't see, but it exists.
Yeah.
They
exist. Yeah.
So.
Well, and it's nice. I mean, I will say, I mental health wise, I was much better when I had, you know, a solid belief and a solid idea of what I thought would happen after, you know, death, or after you pass on, or whatever. And, you know, this, like I said before, the situation is what made me really question, like, whoa, what, wait, I need to know what this is. And I need to, and over the years, it's morphed into, you know, okay, well, maybe I'm, you know, a agnostic, maybe I'm this, maybe I'm that. And And I think it's always like a work in progress, you know, like I probably won't be atheist forever. And I probably will, you know, believe in other things because it is comforting and it's nice to really have like a belief in something. And you're right. I'm kind of leaning toward the fact that like energy can't be, you know, destroyed. So where does that energy go? Where does that soul go when, you know, someone passes away? And so I'm trying to work my way back into it, but it's just hard. And like you said, grief is just hard. It's one of those touchy subjects that everybody believes something different. Even if you're the same type of a religion or same, you know, whatever, everybody has their own idea and everybody believes something different. And I think as human beings, we need to be more patient with each other and more understanding that, yeah, you have heaven in your book. That's okay. You know, like you weren't creating it to hurt anybody by saying heaven. And we just need to all kind of just be a little bit more understanding and cautious on going after people for
no reason. Right. And you can change the word to whatever, whatever you want.
Yeah, if it's not something you want to say, that's fine.
You got a Sharpie, you can cross the word out.
Right.
And I want to speak to knowing Patrice and knowing her passion for making sure no one ever feels alone in this world as to why this is such a hot topic for her.
Yeah.
Because her goal is to try and be inclusive. But as we know, there's so many different cultures and religions and belief systems and families that it's really hard to be fully inclusive. But I know her passion for wanting no one ever to feel alone in this world and to want to reach those people that do feel that, so that they can have that sense of hope. And she almost wants to be that beacon of light, or we want to be that beacon of light with a series of holding that hope for people that can't and keeping things going. And so I think that's why I know we've had this discussion many, many times. As she said, we just had it the other day over lunch. So I know this is one of those passionate pieces, because this is one of the only things that really divides people from the book. There might be a touch of a couple others, but this is the most consistent one. And it's understandable in some ways, but
not that many. I mean, you know what? It's not affecting us that much. We're selling millions of copies of the book, but it bothers me because when I think any child is going to miss out on knowing about their invisible string, it hurts my heart a little bit. But it's okay. You know, they'll hear about it in another way. They'll get the message in another way.
Well, Patrice, you could be the juiciest peach, and there's somebody that's not going to like a peach. And I think your book needs to be seen by everybody and needs to be talked about. I think all of them. I checked out the Invisible Web too, because I was really curious to kind of check out like the whole series. And that was amazing as well. I feel like, let's talk a little bit about the Invisible Web, because I feel like the Invisible Web is like more of a universe. I got like a universe vibe off of it more than like the Invisible String. So let's talk about the Invisible Web a little bit.
Yeah, so the Invisible Web is definitely, it follows a different kind of format than the other books do, which are traditional stories. And the Invisible Web is stories, but more like little vignettes and a greater picture. And the reason I wrote that book was because I wanted to show that, okay, so once the children, and when I say children, I mean all of us, but it's the children. I think if you go to the children first, then the adults find out, you know, it's and the child in all of us. But I wanted them to know that we're all connected by invisible strings of love. And then if I'm connected to you because I love you, and you're connected to him because he's your neighbor that you really love, and he's connected to her because they grew up together, then all of a sudden I saw visually how we live in this web of all of these strings, like a spider web, but it's a web of love. And yes, I wanted to write that the greater, you know, first comes the concept that we are connected to one another, to the people we love. Then comes the even greater concept, which is, well, then we're all connected, which really is string theory, right? That the whole world is indeed connected, and one movement on this part of the web over here ultimately is going to affect the web over there. So yeah, and it was sort of an experimental book, you know. It is a much bigger picture, so it's catching on. I mean, people that buy it love it, but it's not as popular as The Invisible Leash or The Invisible String, and I think because it is a much more global concept. Yeah.
It's kind of like full circle, and I am going to pat myself on the back because I didn't even do it on purpose. I feel like this whole conversation has been full circle because as you're talking about The Invisible Web, I'm like, yeah, we were just literally like describing The Invisible Web before we even talked about the book because, you know, we're all connected, regardless of what religion, right. Regardless of where you are, regardless of anything, we're all connected, all of us. And so that's kind of crazy because as you're talking, I'm like, oh yeah, we're kind of going back in like full circle moment with the situation. That's my co-host that I used to do this with. She runs a rescue, so she didn't have the time to continue with the podcast, but she would always say that every episode, oh, we're going full circle. And I'm like, oh, look at her. Like we're going full circle on this again. So that's great. And then let's talk about your workbook. I want to know all about it.
Dana, you want to take it?
Okay, so I got brought into the party to do the workbook. So it's funny because that actually, the conversation we were just having actually takes us into the workbook. I have two funny stories about The Invisible Web. One, that it wasn't really out and fully done yet when we were writing the workbook. But as we wrote the workbook together, I would do some of the activities and put things together. And then Patrice would look over it and Patrice would be like, every time I remember saying, where's the web activity? I told you I need a web activity. And so we didn't even have all the books yet as we started. I mean, we started writing this way before we had a publishing deal and knew all the books were going to be out and before Patrice had finished writing all of them. And we were always kind of talking through like what should be in there, what makes sense, what's been out there, what did Patrice want in there, what did I see in my work and what were we doing? And so the web kept coming up. And then ironically, we did a talk with a I think it was a kindergarten class or it might've been like second grade. And it was right as the pandemic hit and they asked us to read The Invisible Web. And it was so funny because as we started the conversation, Patrice is like, we're reading The Invisible Web. Well, we're on the web. And it was so funny. I don't think the kids fully got our joke, but the teachers did. But it was so sweet because it was really this like time when everyone got sent to the web to connect and we weren't able to do it in the same way in person for such a long time. So those are just two funny stories, bringing it from the web into the workbook. But the workbook, I'm so grateful.
It's the real World Wide Web. That's what I like.
No world. That's what you said. The workbook, I had been using the book for several years, reading it to people. And I do trainings and, you know, through my art and my marriage and family therapy and all that. I worked at a program where we had a lot of trauma work. And so, you know, when I had to do this huge trauma training, I was like, what am I going to do? And I found this book, The Invisible String, this little book at this little bookstore. And I was looking at it and I was like, this is really powerful. And then I was with a friend who is also in the field and I kind of brought it over to her and I said, I think this is my training. I've been really stuck. And so I started reading it as the basis of my training. You know, how can we understand kids and adults who have struggled with connection and attachment because they never had it if we don't understand even where we got it from? Because it's such a felt sense that you get from such a young age before you even have words. And so I started to use it for that. And we're using it with clients and we would kind of ebb and flow with how much the clients were using it or not using it. We're adolescents. So, you know, they're finicky. Mm-hmm. But we had a couple for this one period of time, we had a few clients that were really attached to the book. And they like one wrote a poem and wanted to share it with Patrice. And another one was like, I love the book so much. And it's helped me, you know, bond with my son. She had a son and we would read it together and then she would read it to him. And so then I was in a class and I was reading out the poem and they're like, you should reach out to Patrice. And I was like, haha, okay. Well, I did. And I was like, oh, well, fine, we'll do it. Worst case scenario, she just never responds back. Well, she did. She responded back. And I was like, oh, didn't expect that. Wonderful. And then we were able to talk and she wanted to hear a little more about what we did. And we wanted to try and find a way. We knew we were close together in California for her to see this poem. It was so beautiful. And because it was from a client, we couldn't publish it. I couldn't send it to her. I could only show it to her in person. Then we met and we talked about this and we talked about my ideas and some of the activities that we had been doing around the invisible string and we just had to do it. And we tried to incorporate all the books as much as possible. It's really heavily around the string, but it really fits with all the different books in the series. And we really felt passionate about writing it for teachers or parents or anyone to pick up and do. I was really careful not to put the words therapy in there anywhere. It's not a therapy book. It is an activity book that anyone could pick up and do things from. And similar to what Patrice is saying with like the words in it, like we wanted to write it too, where it kind of gave people a jumping off point. So you could do it just like you did it in the book, or you could take that idea and go crazy with it and just do whatever you wanted. And so, you know, if you are a therapist, you could pick it up and take it and go a lot deeper with your clients. But ironically, I did an art show for the opening of the workbook. And it was at my friend's gallery, who is also an art therapist. And they had the book out and she has a lot of adult clients and all the clients were picking up the book and trying to buy it. And so she was like, is it okay to sell it to them? And I was like, absolutely. And she said, all these clients of hers were picking up the book. And like one of them even came over to me in the middle of the show and told me. And so we're not supposed to disclose that like we're the therapist. And she like announced in front of the whole room that it was her therapist. And my friend is like, I'm so sorry. And I was like, it's okay. And like signed the book for her. And like, she was like, I want to go through this whole book. This is part of my healing. And so we've had other adults also say that like, they went through it, like almost like a journal and really just like went through it. I've had other people where they just picked pieces of it and ones that were fun and did it with their family. But yeah, that's a little bit about the workbook and where it came from and how we created it.
That's awesome.
It was very collaborative. And our publishers were amazingly collaborative too, because they kept trying to like make it very geared towards children. And I'm like, but it's for everyone. And they're like, but we're a children's publisher. And I'm like, but it's for everyone. So luckily, Patrice, who has a lot of experience with publishing and more than I, really reminded me of how to collaborate with them. And we were able, they were very collaborative and such an amazing group to work with, because they really honored kind of what we envisioned with it, but then also made it fit with, you know, their expectations and what works for their publishing group. And I'm just so, so proud of it and so happy and so grateful. So.
Really, it's really good. And it helps kids and their parents or teachers or caregivers, you know, educators, help the kids take the message of the other books to the next level and through the different activities. And in 2023, I have another invisible book coming out. It's going to be the Invisible String Backpack. It's about a magical backpack that a little girl finds out about on her first day of school, where she learns she and every other child and every other person has indeed an invisible backpack filled with invisible tools and treasures that we can use for the rest of our lives. And so we'll have to talk about that, because I'm sure when they do the reprint on the workbook, they're going to want to add some backpack exercises in there. But yeah, and so any of the activities or many of the activities could be used in the workbook for the loss of an animal, mm-hmm. as well as, and connection to our animals as well as to people. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah,
really good.
I saw you can order it on your website, correct?
Mm-hmm. And
then also,
and much less expensive to get it on Amazon than to get it through my website.
And it just opened to the page that is the Invisible Leash page. The Invisible
perfect. Page. Perfect.
I there love it. Go. I'm gonna have to buy one for everybody. We have like listeners across the United, like across the world. But if you're in the US, check it out wherever you're at. But so if you're in, not in the US, but if you're in the US, $10.69, people. Like that is, and it is so beneficial for you, even. Thank not you. Even just like, thank yeah, you can work with your kids with it, you can do whatever, but for yourself, like you were mm-hmm. saying, because they have like examples of pictures of what like the inside looks like. First of all, I love the artwork on all of these. Like, I am in love with all of the artwork. It's so adorable. And
Thank you.
And the workbook is just beautiful. It really is beautiful.
Oh, and then yeah. I forgot in the very back, this is how I snuck my artwork in because I remember too, but we had illustrators. Is they have, there's my pet that passed away on here. I have a gecko guy, and he's a chameleon, and he passed away. And it was actually the same thing during when we were writing all this stuff. And so they allowed me to put, these are like, they pop out. So you can take out these cards and it has all this artwork in it. And then it has from Patrice. So this was really our like special, like secret thing that we were working on the side where I would do some artwork or she would give me quotes and I would find artwork that matched them.
I've had people say we should do a whole, not oracle, because obviously kids aren't going to be like fortune telling.
No, I would
like
affirmation be down.
Cards, like a whole deck of those cards.
I would
like,
love
yeah.
it.
Cards. Absolutely. They're so beautiful. Kids should be using them for like harder, thicker, like cards, you know?
Real cards. I'm down, really. Grace. I'm down.
I know. I would love to do that.
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, they'd be beautiful. Mm.
That would be fantastic. Okay, so the last question I have, just to do like a plug. Can you tell me about You're Never Alone?
Sure. So You Are Never Alone is the same concept as all of my, you know, all the books that we are connected and we are never alone. But this is a board book for toddlers and for babies, you know, for it's, you know, well, you know, you've seen it, right? Have you seen it?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, you know, it's just, I could go grab it, but it's little and it's cute and it's a poem. It's a lullaby. We call it an invisible string lullaby. And I love it. I, you know, I just think if every child could know from the earliest time on that they are not alone, that there will always be people that will love them and that they can count on. And I mean, if I had known that, it would have been very, very helpful for me. So, you know, they say that you write or teach or create that which you most needed to know or learn or have yourself. So it's no doubt that I write books about loss. You know, I came from a very painful, abusive childhood, and maybe that's why I felt fueled that I somehow wanted children to know that they're going to be okay no matter what, you know, and that they're connected to everyone. And even if their primary caregivers maybe aren't all that, because guess what? Not everyone gets great parents, but they have aunts, they have uncles, they have neighbors, they have friends, they have cousins, they have, you know, other people too that they're connected to. And I just think the more connections you realize you have, the better.
Yeah.
So You Are Never Alone is sweet and it's for babies.
I love it. And I feel like a lot of your books, they do, like you said, you start, you know, You're Never Alone, like in the babies, and then maybe the invisible string, you know, and the invisible web and the invisible leash can be used like through the length of the lifetime of the person. You know, you can use it at any time. You don't have to be a child to understand the message, or, you know, but it's nice that children can understand the message if that's who you want to focus on or needs that information. And I think it's really, really cool. I think all of them are awesome. I think what you're doing is awesome. I'm excited to see what you guys will come up with in the future, more workbooks, so people have something.
Yeah, well, there's lots of things we'd love to do. So if the gods are with us,
right?
Force people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Happen. Well, it was lovely, Kayla, to meet you.
Absolutely.
And tell your listeners to all go get the invisible leash, and because even if their animal has, and I hope their animals have many, many, many years ahead of them, but it's never too soon. And actually, it's a celebration of the love of our animals. It's not just a book about an animal dying. It's, even though that is the greater story, but it's really just about how aren't these incredible creatures in our lives so beautiful, and they're with us all the time, and they're aware of us, and we're aware of them, and we're connected forever. I think that's super important.
Absolutely.
Love never dies. Love is forever. Love is the strongest thing in the entire universe.
Yep. Absolutely.
No one's ever been able to prove anything else to me, so I'm sticking with
Right.
it.
No, I agree with you 100%. I think you're spot on with it. I think that that's the one thing that transcends any religion, personal background, anything, is that love never dies, and the love that personally that I've seen, the love that people have for their companion animals is just unconditional, especially like animals just unconditionally love you.
Wait, look at this.
My kids would say that all the time. The kids I work with would say, I like animals more than people because animals don't lie and they're always with you.
Oh
I literally. Oh,
my gosh.
did we
How?
take a nap? We just woke up from a nap.
What's their name?
This is my Binky. This is Luna. This is my
Luna.
Lunabella.
Oh my God. I wish you guys could see the video. She's showing her baby. Dachshund, right? Is she a
She's a
dachshund?
dog.
Yeah. She's so cute. She's so sleepy.
Oh my gosh. Now I have to show you a picture of my little guy this morning eating peanut butter.
Oh my goodness. Beagle, right?
Yes,
Love them,
he's a very stubborn, very smart beagle.
Beagle.
He was crying. He was crying because I wouldn't give him peanut butter, so I had to give him a little. I was eating it this morning for breakfast, and he had tears in his eyes. I was like, "Do you have tears?" I was like, "Oh my gosh."
I love it. I love it.
What would we do without our creatures? I see yours laying there on the floor too,
Yes. Yeah,
Kayla.
I was telling them, you guys, I didn't tell you guys at the beginning of the episode, but I was telling our guests that we're under a tornado watch, and so I had to bring, the four of them in here. And as we're recording, one of my dogs is panting, and I'm like, oh gosh, I hope people don't hear just the whole episode.
Well,
I
luckily
didn't
it's
hear
animal lovers, right? It's animal lovers on your
it. True,
show.
totally.
Right? That's allowed. It's allowed if they jump in your lap and start
Totally.
barking at the
Totally. Well, I appreciate both of you very, very much. You guys are doing great things. You're going places. And we always tell this to all of our guests. We always want to check in a year from now and have you guys on so that you can talk about all the new stuff that you guys got coming and share it with the world. And so hopefully we'll hear some awesome stuff from you guys in a year.
Well,
Thank
let's
you,
say it now.
Kayla.
Hopefully, in a year, we have our card deck and you'll get a copy of
Yeah.
it. You'll get a copy of it for
You
influencing
heard it here
Aspen
first.
Yeah.
Forward.
Right. You heard it here.
Absolutely. All
Well,
right.
thank you for having us, and we'll talk to you again, maybe in a
Sounds great.
year.
Yep, in a year.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Okay.
All right.
Bye,
Bye.
Kayla.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye.